Helga fell, 4 bullets stitched across her chest and stomach. She rolled sideways, thrashing, knocking Abe into the dirt with her. Bob started to duck away, one arm half raised in a useless gesture to try to hold off the stream of 9mm bullets. The first two severed his arm at the wrist, the hand dropping, fingers curling as the tendons were hacked through. The next two rounds pulped the side of his head, tearing most of his face away. Ryan half turned, seeing instantly that both of them were finished. He spotted Charlie, crouched on a pinnacle of crumbling red rock, his yellow hair streaked with dirt and matted with what looked like somebody's blood. His eyes were stretched wide, and his mouth was tugged open in a soundless scream of triumphant hatred. The first round that Ryan snapped off from the M16 kicked a handful of dirt, inches from the sticky's feet. The second tug on the trigger produced the dry click of an empty mag. Ryan was furiously angry that he'd omitted to check how many rounds remained in the leper's carbine.
You fuckers are all dead!
Little Dorina saved them. Stooping and picking up a jagged rock the size of a small apple, she whipped back her wrist and sent the missile hissing toward the sticky. It hit Charlie on the right forearm. He nearly dropped his blaster, snatching at it with his left hand as it began to fall. The sudden movement unbalanced him, and he slid backward, vanishing from sight with an almost comical expression of dismay on his sweat-stained face.
Come on!
Ryan dropped the useless blaster and sprinted toward the shelter of another group of semi-ruined adobe houses.
Well, what about Helga? You can't leave her.
The woman was rolling from side to side, a string of intestine trailing from the gaping stomach wounds. She'd stopped crying out, her face unrecognizably contorted with shock.
She's dying.
The half dozen survivors reached a moment of safety, crouching together in pitch darkness.
Nice throw, Dorina.
Used to knock possum out of trees. Yellow-headed fucker was easier.
It was the best throw I ever saw, child.
Worst? I was aiming at his nose.
Abe had twisted his ankle and was massaging it.
Ow! Oh, hurts like a bastard. Always happens. Trader used to say he'd take me out back and put a bullet through my head, like an old hound dog who got too old.
Can you run?
Hey, we get out and those lepers and stickies start in after us, Ryan. Then you better get clear or I'll run over the top of you.
How far to Charlie's place?
Close.
Fewer of us moving around, the better. Dorino, show me and Christy where the blasters are hidden. You three stay in here. That's as safe as it gets.
Sure. 200 lepers and stickies murdering one another about 10 paces away. I like what you call safe, Ryan.
The trio moved away from the others. As soon as the young woman had pointed out which of the old dwellings was occupied by Charlie, Ryan sent her scurrying back to rejoin the others in hiding.
I could come with you.
No.
I want to chill some stickies. Make up for everything that those...
We know. Before we get clear of this place, you'll probably get your chance. Now do like I say.
Dorina nodded and turned, vanishing out of sight.
She doesn't even seem to realize her husband's been gunned down.
Only 5 rounds in the chamber, that one.
Do you blame her, lover?
After what she's been through, of course not.
Ahead of them, they saw a leper and a sticky rolling over and over in the slippery mud that was already covering the camp. Both had knives, struggling to hack at each other. But the leper was missing fingers from both his hands, putting him at a terminal disadvantage. The sticky had his free hand clamped to his enemy's face, sucking off strips of skin. Both of the combatants were dappled with blood, streaming pink in the rain. At a gesture from Ryan, Christy backed off with him behind a low wall, crouching to watch the outcome of the mortal combat. By the time the sticky had finished with him, the leper's head had been reduced to a hairless, skinless, blood-slick skull, eyeless and featureless. The mutie stood up unsteadily, facing away from Ryan and Christy.
Could get you his knife, lover.
I'll get it myself.
Christy walked out. The rain immediately soaked her hair, dulling its bright glow, pasting it to her neck and shoulders. It only took her 8 strides to reach the exulting sticky. Christy wasted no time, chopping the sticky across the back of the neck with the edge of her right hand, killing the mutie with an ease that was almost contemptuous. She stooped, picked the knife from the trembling fingers, and rejoined Ryan. They waited for the right moment to cross an open space by the hissing remains of the biggest of the Sticky's campfires. The doorway to Charlie's house was pitch black, with no sign of life within. A woman ran past Ryan and Christy, holding her severed left hand in her right, blood jetting in spurts from the raw wound. Ryan glanced at Christy.
Now!
Just as they reached the entrance, a tall Sticky came out, holding the butt of a musket. The barrel was missing. He looked up,
You're the one I went with good old Marcy. Hey, how come you... Ah!
Ryan and Christy stabbed him at precisely the same moment, almost as though they'd been rehearsing the move for weeks. The sticky went down like a sack of coal, dropping stone dead at their feet. They slipped out of sight into Charlie's home, finding a small brass oil lamp still burning. All their weapons were there, lying on top of an old oak chest at the foot of a double bed. Less than a half minute later, they rejoined the others.
Which way are we going to get out?
Next time you shout like that, I'll cut your damn throat, preacher.
It appeared that the sticky still had the edge. The downpour made it hard to see, the rain mingling with the smoke from the fires and the muskets. But there seemed to be a lot less shooting than screaming. Ryan gave his rifle to Abe, keeping the Sig Sauer for his own use. Christy held on to her five-shot Smith & Wesson. After some thought, Ryan gave Jack's big .357 Magnum to Harold, keeping Jack's precious throwing knives for himself. The captured blades went to Darina and to Joe Bob Jarman.
Leaving a man of God without a weapon against them that threaten me. I need more than a fucking rod and staff to comfort me with lepers and stickies and cracks and what else running around in this valley in the fucking shadow of death. You give the blasters to women and to a fat kid.
Don't call me kid, Reverend.
Which way are we going to go?
The shortest route isn't always the best one to take. This rain will swell the stream in an hour or so. Charlie will expect us to go back down the valley, the quickest way out. So we go up. We go across the bridge, and then move up the farther side of the valley. All right?
Mildred, Dean, Jack, and Christina had been awakened by the sudden eruption of gunfire out of the black night. As usual, Doc was locked into a long-ago dream of an endless summer yesterday and proved harder to wake.
Upon my soul, are we under attack from some nameless foe?
No, guns up the mountain.
Might it be Dad breaking out from the Sticky's camp?
Shooting and moving around like they're chasing anyone.
Can you make out what it is, John?
There's some muskets and some carbines, an M16, and I think I heard an Uzi. No, figure that's somebody attacking the Stickies.
Who? Apache? Navajo? Mexes? Or just the usual renegade bastards?
Can't tell. Seems like dark night. Now it's starting to rain again.
We're going up there?
We sure are, Dean. Fast as we can.
Someone threw gasoline on one of the dying fires, bringing it back to a brilliant, roaring life. The sight obviously cheered the Stickies and took more of the heart out of the attacking lepers. It also made it more risky for Ryan and the others to leave their hiding place and break across the camp for the relative safety of the higher ground farther up the valley. They watched as scenes from the tableau of life and death, mainly death, were played out around them. They saw Charlie twice. Abe leveled the Steyr at the stalking, hunting figure, his finger moving to settle on the trigger. But Ryan laid a hand across the sights.
No, not when we're so close to making it clean away from here.
Abe nodded, but he still followed the Sticky's chief, keeping the blaster trained on the shock of yellow hair. It looked like Charlie was searching for someone, and they all knew who that was. After he'd gone, they saw a skirmish line of a dozen or so lepers picking their way haltingly along the line of buildings, opening fire at anything that moved, or looked like it had moved.
Oh, boy. It's as though they've opened the gates on every Crip's home in Deathlands. They had a home for cripples in Castle Rock, and you'd see them all slobbering and hobbling, being triple-odd. Mostly double wrinklies, of course.
I'd like to see it when you get old, Harold.
Hope I die before that.
Ryan couldn't help thinking that Harold's comment wasn't entirely unjustified. Apart from demonstrating that they shared with the Stickies a virulent hatred of anyone normal, the lepers were just amazingly stupid. Most had blasters, with the traditional M16 carbines predominating. But some had small hideaway hand blasters, while others had only spears and long knives. A couple had bows and arrows, though Ryan suspected that these weren't likely to be great weapons if you didn't have a full set of fingers on each hand. One leper went down right in front of the hidden archers, a musket ball striking it through the side of the neck. The others ignored its death throes, moving toward the end of the camp where the overhang was steepest, and where most of the Stickies lived. The fire seemed to be burning even more brightly, illuminating the room where they were hiding. Jill Bob Jarman glanced behind him and gagged in revulsion, drawing the attention of the others to what he'd just seen. two sticky children lay on a truckle bed.